Good morning. It's good to be with you. Just this past week, last Sunday afternoon, I was watching television, watching Fox News, and of course, last Sunday was 9/11, and they were showing a broadcast of some memorial ceremonies going on in New York City, and they were reading off the names of those that died at that time. And it was children and family members of those that died that were reading off those names. It was a very moving ceremony. It was very simple in what they were doing, but the family members would make some comments about the one who had passed away, and they'd read off their names. And I was just intrigued with that and watching that. And I was a little upset when commentators broke in and started making comments. I just wanted to see the ceremony and see the families. And it made me think back 10 years ago. And I know many of us have thought about those things as well. Do you remember what you were doing that day? Most people do. I remember that I was driving into work, and I was listening to Rick and Bubba, and they talked about what was happening. And by the time I arrived at work, it still was not really known what was going on. And we had a television in a training room at EBSCO, small television with a little VCR built into it that was used to watch videotapes of training materials. And so we wanted to know what was going on. We found an antenna and we hooked it up, and we pretty much watched that television all day and didn't get a whole lot of work done. And I remember that very vividly, as probably you do as well, what you were doing on that day. And for months after that time, that day was on the minds of everyone. And that event caused people to think about different things. It caused them to think about what could happen next. It caused people to think about the uncertainty of life and the reality of death and the need for God. And in many ways, it was a day that changed the nation. And shortly after that, church attendance seemed to increase. More thought was given to God and prayer. And people didn't seem to have a whole lot of a problem talking about God at that point and praying to God for help. But 10 years and a week have passed since that time. And as I was watching that ceremony yesterday, I thought about, have we forgotten? Well, the purpose of that ceremony was to make sure that people hadn't forgotten. If something happened in the past 10 years, people forgot how they felt that day. Church attendance dropped. People went back to the way that they were. And for many people, the only time that they may think about that day is when they go to the airport and they have to go through security regulations, or they have to go through some other hassle that came about because of that day. But every year when it rolls around, people think about it. And you know, there are good things about remembering that. There's lessons that the country has learned from that, as well as individual lessons. But there are more important lessons that we need to remember. And that's also what I thought about last week, that how often we forget about things that are important. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How can we forget things that are important? Do we often forget about things that Jesus has done for us? Do we need to be reminded? Do you remember when you learned that you needed a Savior? When you felt that need? Do you remember the sense of urgency you had when you realized that your soul was in jeopardy and you needed to do something about it? Do you remember how it felt when you came up out of the waters of baptism? as a new creature in Christ. Peter said that we need to remember in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Peter said, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you." So Peter said there's a need to remind us of things. There's a need to remind us because we may become negligent. He wanted them to be established in the truth. He wanted them to be reminded of the truth. So there is a danger in forgetting things that are important. Sometimes we think there are things that are in are so fixed in our minds that they'll always be there. But haven't you often forgot something that you thought you would never forget? Why do we need to remember? Why do we need to remember what Jesus has done for us? Well, it's possible for us to become lazy. It's possible for us to become complacent and slip back into things that we once left, to slip back into a life of sin. So I want to look at three things this morning that we should never forget, but sometimes we may forget. The first one is His cross. Do you remember the first time that you heard about the cross? That you understood the significance of Jesus hanging on the cross and dying? You may not remember the first time that you heard about that. Those of us that quote, grew up in the church, it may be hard for us to remember. Others, it may be very easy to remember the first time that they heard about that and the significance of it. When you heard about it and you really understood what it meant, did you cringe? When you heard what a Roman scourging was all about? I can remember the first time that I heard a lesson that really described in detail what the crucifixion was like. It was in a gospel meeting. It was in Columbus, Georgia, when I was just a teenager. I believe the title of the lesson was A Physician's View of the Crucifixion. And probably some of you have heard similar lessons. And I did cringe. It made me think about what it was really like for Jesus to go through what He did and what a Roman scourging really was. And many people, when they hear those kind of descriptions and think about what it is that Jesus did for us on the cross, you can't help but become emotional. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 says that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The agony of what Christ went through on the cross was very significant. Did it make you feel sad or uncomfortable when you realized that Jesus had to go through that because of you and because of me? Do we remember what the cross really did for us? That's something that we need to remember. And when we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, I don't talk about it to make people feel sorry about Jesus or for Jesus, but it's to remind us of why He did it. Why did He go through that agony? Because John 3:16 says, "He so loved the world, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's why we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus. That's why we need to be reminded of it, because of what it means, why God did it. But sometimes, if we are not careful, we may forget Calvary. And we have to ask ourselves and remind ourselves, because at times it seems like some of Jesus' disciples today seem to have forgotten. And there are lessons from the cross that we may forget. First of all, Jesus forgave those who crucified Him. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Why do I think sometimes we forget that Jesus forgave those who crucified him? Because sometimes brethren will not forgive each other. And when we don't have an attitude of forgiveness toward each other, haven't we forgotten what was done for us? In reality, we really have. If we can't forgive each other, then we have forgotten what was done for us. Maybe we don't forgive each other because we have just forgotten about the death of Christ and what it means. Another lesson for us that we can realize when we look at the cross is that Jesus was obedient to God even when it was the most difficult thing for him to do. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus had received sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Jesus accomplished what he had come to do. Jesus was obedient to God, even to the cross, even to death, and it was not deserved. But yet sometimes we are not obedient. We refuse to be obedient to God. Maybe we are disobedient to God because we have forgotten how obedient Jesus was. And we need to be reminded of that. Jesus humbled himself even to the point of death. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Notice that Jesus humbled himself. Are we always humble? Some disciples of Christ allow their hearts to be filled with pride. And maybe we do that because we have forgotten that Jesus was humble even to death and have forgotten about what he went through on the cross. So we need to never forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. So how can we remember? What can we do to make sure that we will never forget? Last Sunday there were memorials in New York, Washington, and other places to remember 9/11. The Birmingham News had a big picture on the front page from 10 years ago. All that was designed to help people remember what happened and the significance of it. And we have a memorial to remember the death of Jesus that God has given us. And it's not once a year, it's 52 times a year. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Paul told the Corinthian brethren that I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." This was set up as a memorial. God doesn't want us to forget. God does not want us to forget what Jesus did for us. That's why this was set up for us. That's why it's important that we come together and worship on the first day of the week, as we're told in Acts chapter 20 and 7, the disciples did in the first century. They came together to break bread. We do the same thing. And we do this on the first day of the week. And part of that is in memory of Christ's resurrection and recognizing his sacrifice. That's how we continue to remember. And that's why we should really focus our minds on what it is that we're doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper. The memorial is there for us. It's not there so we can just go through the motions and that we can repeat something that we've done for so long. It is a privilege for us to worship God. And when we worship, we need to take advantage of that reminder to remember the cross of Jesus and what his death did for us. It really helps us remain in the state of mind that we should be in every day of our life when we remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Another thing that we may tend to forget is our cleansing. What was it that caused you to turn away from sin? You know, many people, when they become a child of God, when they are encouraged to believe and be baptized, it may be that there's some event in their life that causes them to realize that they have that need. You know, on the day of Pentecost, those that crucified Jesus were put face to face with what they had done. Peter made that very clear to them. And they realized that they were in a condition that they didn't need to stay in and they needed to change. And that does happen for many people, that there is some event in their life that causes them to see their need of a Savior. It may be that a friend confronts them. Or it may be that they have a friend who caused them to see their need, because their friend always seemed to be happy and at peace, and you wanted what they had. And a good example of that, some of you may know Carol Sanders, that attended 77th Street, and she and her family would get up every Sunday, and they would attend services. It didn't matter what time it was. It didn't matter what the weather was like. And others saw that, neighbors saw that example and wanted to know why it was that they did that, even in the snow. So sometimes it's a friend that causes you to see the need. It may be the reality of death after losing a loved one. You know, funerals are more about the living than they are for the dead. And it's an opportunity to teach and for people to come face to face with their mortality. And if they are not ready, many times the death of a loved one or a friend may cause them to stop and think. And sometimes people will want to turn from sin because they know that their life is hopeless. They know that something's wrong. But ultimately, whatever motivated us, it all has to do with the reality that we are in sinners of need of a Savior, just like those on the day of Pentecost. When you realize that you are lost in your sins, that's very troubling. Do you remember when you came up out of baptism, how you felt? Do you remember how you felt the night after you became a Christian? I hope you can remember that. And what a blessing it is to know that you're cleansed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." That's a wonderful thing to have a fresh start. And a new life in Christ is a reason to be happy. It's a reason to celebrate. It's a reason to be thankful to God. You know, that's something that we need to remember. You know, if we're living the way that we should never lose that feeling. But sometimes people will forget. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. "Give also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins." Peter said we have to be diligent and we have to keep bearing fruit. We need to keep growing. And if you don't keep growing, it's because you've forgotten that you were cleansed. So there is a very real danger that we can forget and that our lives will not be what they ought to be and that we will not grow and spiritually mature as we should because we have forgotten what Peter told us not to forget. Sometimes people forget about the reality of death. back in 1993, I was in a bad car accident. And you know, the reality of death was probably the most apparent to me, you know, in the weeks following that accident. Knowing how close that I came to death, if my car had just gone in a little bit different direction, I came in contact with a log truck. I was going down Highway 80 from Selma to Montgomery, 8 o'clock. One night, it was dark. The bed of the log truck had no lights on it, and he was blocking both lanes of the road that I was on. I didn't see it until I got right up on it. I swerved to go around it, and I hit the rear axle of that truck. So hitting the tires of that truck kept me from going underneath the bed of that truck. If I'd gone underneath it, it would have taken the top of my car off and me. I broke my hip, my femur, my elbow, my wrist, and was airlifted to UAB Hospital and was there for 2 weeks. And then 3 months of recuperation in Dothan, living with my brother at that time, Dr. Haley in Dothan, orthopedic doctor down there, was helping me. So it took me 3 months to be able to walk again. So that was my brush with death. But I have to tell you that I don't really think about it that much anymore. The only time I really think about it is when somebody sees the scar on my wrist and asks me what happened. I forget how close that I came to death. You know, that's something that I don't really need to lose track of. We all need to realize the reality of death, and whether or not you've ever had a car accident or just about had one, we all need to realize that we're all mortal and that we are all going to die. But many people think they have plenty of time. James chapter 4, verse 14 tells us, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Do we forget that our life is like a vapor? And we really realize that when we see somebody else die. Maybe it's somebody young that dies much sooner than we thought that they might. And we remember that life is like a vapor, but we don't really apply it to ourselves because it happened to somebody else. We think we have plenty of time to serve God later when we get older. Peter said, don't forget. You need to keep growing and you don't need to forget that you have been cleansed. It's something that we need to remember. We need to remember that we were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. We are bought with a price, and we have a covenant relationship with God. That means that we made a commitment. Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator, for the testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. We are under that new covenant. We are under that new relationship with God if we have been cleansed from our sins. But what if we've forgotten about that, like Peter said? What do we need to do? We need to give thanks to God and not forget the joy that comes with salvation. Paul remembered it as he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me as faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. There is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
You could tell that Paul was thankful for his condition. He was thankful for what God had done for him in cleansing him from his sins. And we need to have that same kind of gratitude toward our God. Another thing that we need to remember is His coming. I don't remember the first time that I heard about heaven or how that made me feel or what I thought about that. I don't remember the first time I heard about it. But I know what heaven is, and I know it's where I want to go. And we need to keep that in our mind. Many people think they're in heaven on earth because they really love this world. And they love this world so much they don't think about the next one too much. When we look back at September 11th, it reminds us that our life is fragile. And, you know, what makes the life of a Christian so special and different is that we have something else to look forward to. We have something greater than this life. And we need to be thinking about that. We have the hope of heaven when Jesus returns. You know, some of the songs that should give us the greatest joy are the songs that we sing about heaven. If we are planning on going there. Paul told the Corinthians he wanted to go there. He said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Now, how many people have that attitude about death? To die is gain. You know, so many people will do everything that they can to stay here. And they will spend untold amounts of money to keep them or their loved ones alive. But Paul said, "I don't need to live. If I die, that's better." And he also told his brethren that it's better for him to stay because he could help them. But as far as he was concerned, he would be better off in death. So many don't have that kind of attitude toward death. They want everything that this life can offer. But Paul was excited because he knew that being with Jesus was far better than anything that this life could offer. The reality of heaven ought to have that kind of same feeling and reaction that Paul had. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The hope that is laid up in heaven. The reality is that heaven should bring us hope. It should bring us joy. And death should not be something that's feared. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." What he's saying is you're not like the rest. You're not like the others. You have hope. They don't have hope. The reality of heaven should give us hope. It should give us joy. But yet, sometimes maybe we have forgotten about heaven, or at least that's what our actions seem to say. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You know, we have the attitude that it's really a hassle to come together to worship. Do we not understand that that's really what we need? We really need to worship. If we really have that hope in heaven, worship is the very thing that we need. It helps us to remember. When we come together and worship, we remember our purpose in life. It's a reminder to us. You know, we get busy with other things in this world and activities and responsibilities, jobs and things that we're doing with our children. It seems that every hour of our day is taken up with some kind of activity. If we don't take the time to serve God, we forget things that are important. Our worship helps us to remember about what Jesus did for us and about the coming of Jesus and that we need to be ready for that so that we can have that hope of a home in heaven and live in a way that we don't have to fear death. Those who forget about heaven are going to miss out on an eternity of rest and joy. And if we miss heaven, our whole life has been a waste. That's why Peter urged the saints not to forget. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, once again, says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You see what he says there? He says to be diligent because of where it's going to take you in the future. Remember that the goal is heaven. Peter said it over and over to remember that. So do you see why it's so important that we remember the death of Jesus? We remember His blood that cleanses us from our sins, and we remember the promise of heaven. We've got to remember those things. In heaven, we don't have to have anything to fear. We don't have to fear terrorist attacks or unknown packages left on bridges or the death of loved ones, car accidents, all the other uncertainties of life. That won't exist anymore. It's so important for us to remember things that are significant. A lot of people put a lot of significance, and rightly so, on September 11th, that there are things about what happened on that day that they don't want to forget. But let's not forget the things that are even more important. And we are reminded of that every week as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's remember always the significance of what Jesus did for us and live in such a way that we can have that hope of heaven in eternity. Do you have that hope of heaven? Are you prepared? If you're not, when do you plan on doing it? When do you plan to get prepared? If I'd lost my life on that night in March of 1993, and I wasn't prepared, when would I have gotten prepared? It would have been too late. Life is like a vapor. Yours is as well. Take advantage of the time that God has given you to become a Christian or to make your life right with God so that you can have that hope of heaven and eternity. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.